Hello, my name is Simon Walden and welcome to the latest podcast from filmphotoacademy.com. In today's program, I'm going to be talking about how to use Studio Flash and crucially why it sometimes fails. I'm going to give you a very quick run through about what you need to take Studio Flash pictures, and believe me, it is much, much simpler than you really think it is until you've done it. Once you've done it once, you'll be laughing and you'll be doing it time and time again. And then I'm going to take you through troubleshooting, what goes wrong with Studio Flash. And that's the bit where people get unstuck, is the starting bit is easy, but it's when it don't quite work right that people get confused. Setting up Studio Flash, here's what you need. You need a flash unit. They come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, but basically it's an independent flash unit, and you can stick it on a tripod or a light stand and move it away from the camera. That's the crucial aspect, is the flash is not on top of the camera, that you can position it where you like. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about the little speed light off the top of your camera or whether you're talking about a big studio strobe. It's the fact that it's off camera and you can move it around. Once you've got it off camera though, you need a means of triggering it. And there's a whole range of options here. You may use one of the dedicated triggering systems, but I'm not going to be talking about those now. You can use a PC cord. It's got nothing to do with personal computers. It's a cord that connects from your flash unit to your camera. Used to be pretty much the only choice, but nobody uses them nowadays because the cords never work and they're always tripping over them. Third option, again a bit old-fashioned now, but is infrared triggers. Most strobe units have a little cell, a photo slave cell on the back of the unit, and when it sees a flash of light, it triggers the main strobe. What the infrared triggers do is they send out a little infrared flash of light that the strobe picks up, but doesn't actually illuminate your subject and isn't picked up by your camera. Again, they're not used so much these days. A final option is wireless triggers. These are so common. They range everywhere from a £10 unit on eBay to a £500 unit from proprietary manufacturers. They basically all work the same. Personally, I use the £10 units and they work fine for me. But there's just a little wireless trigger sits on the hot shoe on your camera. When you fire the shutter, it sends a wireless trigger out to your main studio strobe and that flashes in sync with your camera. So that's the equipment side. You do need a camera. And you may also want a flash meter. This is not a regular meter, a regular light meter. What it does is it looks for that little pulse of light that you get from the flash being triggered and tells you how bright that is. And I'm going to explain to you now how you're going to set your camera, why you might want a light meter, but you can live without. Here's how you set up your camera. First of all, you set your camera into manual mode. So none of the shutter priority, no aperture priority, no program modes. You've got to go to manual mode. You will set your ISO, if you can, to ISO 100. You will set your shutter speed to 1/100th of a second. And you will set your aperture to f8. You take a picture. And then you have a look at your histogram on the back of the camera. And what you're looking for is the picture light, dark? Is the histogram basically in the right place? Take a picture of a grey card if you can, because that's really going to help. That grey should sit nicely in the middle of your histogram. Once you've got that right, take a photo of a white card and make sure it's not blowing out the highlights. But basically, you know, digital cameras, you can check the pictures straight on the back of the camera. Is it basically looking right? You can check it straight away, and that's why you don't need a flash meter. If it isn't right, you need to adjust the aperture. That's the only thing that you adjust, is the aperture. So if it's too dark, you drop the aperture down, so you go down f8, f5, 6, f4, etc. If it's too bright, you push the aperture up, f11, f13, f16, etc. If you still can't get your picture in range, and you're sure the flash is going off, and we'll talk about that in a moment, then you might want to look at adjusting your ISO settings. Typically, you're going to find the issue you've got is you're not getting enough illumination on the subject, particularly with low-powered and cheaper flashlights. So crank your ISO up to maybe ISO 400, and then basically go through those same settings. Shutter speed 1/100th of a second, start at f8, and adjust the f8 value up or down as you need to until you get a decent exposure. That's the simple course, okay? Just going to talk very quickly about that shutter speed thing. Every camera has what's called a flash sync speed. This is the fastest speed that the shutter can cross the sensor and trigger the flash, so that the flash light, that pulse of light that you get from the flash, is fully illuminating your subject when the shutter is fully open. Most cameras, that's somewhere between 1/100th and 2/100th of a second. My Canons are 1/125th of a second. If you're using medium format, they will sync up to almost any speed, but that's a different story altogether. If you're concerned, look up on your camera manual what your flash sync speed should be. If you don't know, setting it to 1/100th of a second is almost certainly going to do the job. Okay, so really what we care about is what happens when it goes wrong. Okay, let's first of all talking about the flash not firing. If you're using a PC cord, that's the cable connection between the flash and the camera, the odds are the cord itself is faulty, and that's usually the plug at the camera end that is the problem, because the little kind of clips, they just get kind of splayed out and it doesn't make a proper contact with the camera. So just carefully squeeze the end of that plug together and reconnect it, and just give it kind of a little bit of a rattle around, and that might do the trick. If you're using infrared triggers, then what I found is infrared triggers in dark rooms, particularly in my studio which has black walls and is big as well, both the black paint soaks up infrared just in the same way as it soaks up visible light, so the pulse of infrared is not bright enough to trigger the flash, or I'm just too far away from the flash, or I've got no line of sight to the flash. That's why I don't use them, they just don't work for me. I just don't get a sync off them very often at all. Wireless flash. What happens with the wireless, you've got a transmitter on the camera and you've got a receiver on the flash unit. It will probably have two or more channels so that several people can work at the same time in different rooms next to each other, and the wireless triggers won't interfere with each other. Check that you've got the wireless triggers set to the same channel. On my units, it's a simple switch between A or B channels. You just need to make sure that A and B are set the same. All wireless triggers will have a test button on the top, so you can just keep blipping away on that test button, find out what's going on. Maybe the battery's flat, and obvious mechanical stuff like that. A lot of the wireless receivers have a little light on them to show when the wireless trigger has been picked up. So if that's flashing to indicate that it's picked up the trigger, but it's not actually flashing the strobe, then you've got a strobe issue. But nearly always it's an issue with the channels more than anything else. You can also trigger your camera by using the flash unit off the top of your camera. Make sure that's turned off, or if you're using it, make sure you turn off any automatic metering, the ETTL and advanced TTL metering stuff. Why? Because what happens is the flash unit sends out a pre-flash. That's so that it can do its light measurement stuff to work out what flash setting it needs to do. But what happens is that pre-flash will trigger the studio strobe, and then the main flash goes off with the shutter, but by that time the studio strobe's already given up. And if you're occasionally getting dropouts, that might be just because you're shooting too quickly. All strobe units take a while to recharge. That while may be anything from a fraction of a second to even 2 or 3 seconds if you're running on full power. So if you shoot too quickly, it won't have recharged enough. A lot of studio strobes have two ways of letting you know that it's recharged. You can turn the modeling lamp off. So basically when the flash goes off, the lamp will also go off, the flash unit is dark until it's recharged, and then the modeling light comes back on again. That's a very visible way of doing it. I don't like doing that because I think it hammers the modeling bulbs for one thing, and also it plunges the studio into darkness for another. They will also typically have a beep on them, so that when you hear that beep goes off, it means that the unit is recharged and ready to go. What happens if you're getting pictures back where one side of the image is dark, or sometimes both sides, but usually it's one-sided? That's an indication that your shutter speed is too fast. What's happening is the shutter is not fully open when the flash is being fired, and so you're only exposing part of the sensor. Okay, so just to summarize, first of all, in terms of setting up your camera, set your camera to manual. Set the shutter speed to 1/100th of a second. Set your ISO to 100 ISO and set your aperture to f8. Take some test pictures, adjust the aperture only until you get a reasonable exposure. If you cannot get a reasonable exposure, adjusting the aperture down to its widest setting, so f8, f5, 6, f4, f2, whatever it goes to, if you still can't get enough light, then look at increasing your ISO value from 100 up to maybe 200 or 400 and retry. Do not adjust your shutter speed. So manual, shutter speed 1/100 of a second, ISO 100, start off at f8 and adjust accordingly. If basically you've got your flash triggering, and I'd strongly recommend you use wireless triggers, they are the most reliable and easiest to use. If your flash is not triggering at all, check that the wireless transmitter is being received, okay? Check the batteries, check the wireless channels, that's usually the one that's gone wrong. If your flash is triggering, but you're getting partially exposed images, they're dark on one side, check your shutter speed, it's probably drifted out of alignment. If you're getting images that just don't look as your light meter suggests they do, do not rely on the light meter in the camera. That can only measure the ambient light in the room. It cannot measure the flash, the pulse of light from the flash. And that's it. So that's easy to set up, easy to use, easy to diagnose. Studio flash is not the scary thing so many people think it is, and indeed it's not the scary thing that many books tell you that it is as well. It's really, really easy. What's hard is working out where to put the lights, but that's a whole other story. And if you want to know about that, you may well be interested in the DVDs. I'm sorry, this is the advert bit. But in the DVDs, we cover the whole set of lighting diagrams, lighting recipes that you can recycle and use in your own setups. Doesn't matter whether you're doing the kind of things that we're doing, but the lighting recipes will be usable almost anywhere. So if you want to look at the DVDs, if you want to look at the lighting diagrams, lots of lighting diagrams on the website, that's filmphotoacademy.com. Thank you.